Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
I want you to turn with me to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We'll read first out of the New King James, and then we're going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. I want to minister to you along the lines of the second return of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. You know, they missed him the first time he came. They didn't recognize him. In fact, the Lord Jesus told them in Matthew's account that the reason they missed it is they weren't willing to receive the signs that God had given him. God had sent the wise men, and the very scribes knew exactly where Jesus was going to be born, told them. They had the word, but they rejected the word. And then, you know, we have John the Baptist, and he not only proclaims he's coming, but he even says, here he is. And they take John, throw him in jail, and eventually kill him and reject Jesus again. Then the Lord finally on the, what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry, came in himself and revealed that he's the Messiah. And instead of being rejoicing and praising God, they rejected him. And the Bible says they were indignant. They were just downright mad, amen, that he was getting all this attention. And the reason they missed it was because they wanted God's blessings. They wanted to be known as God's people, but they didn't want to serve God. Kind of like the church is today. If we don't watch ourselves, we're going to miss the coming of the Lord this time. Somebody says, oh, how could you miss it? Well, how could they miss it? Amen. We need to get ready for the return of the Lord and live like he's coming again. Praise God. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Isn't that great? He's going to come again. Praise God. The Amplified reads it like this. Even so it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and once for all. Notice that first time Jesus came, he was the Lamb that would bear the sins of many. He took our sins upon himself. He was God's Lamb of sacrifice for you and me. But he says he will appear a second time, not to carry any burdens of sin, nor to deal with sin. See, Jesus came as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world when he came the first time. He came to bear the sins and sin nature of mankind. He came to take our place and to purchase our freedom and redeem us from the hand of the enemy, praise God. But I'm here to tell you what the apostle is writing to the Hebrews children saying is this. He's saying to these Hebrew Christians, when Jesus comes back this time, he's not coming back as a lamb. No, blessed be God, he's coming back this time as the Lion of Judah. Amen. He's coming back this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming to bear your sins anymore. He's already done that. So what's he going to do? He's going to appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation. Notice how that reads, but to bring to full salvation those who eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting him. Praise God. What's he saying? He's saying when the Lord comes back this time, he's going to bring our full salvation with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's that mean? You're going to get rid of this old body that has aches and pains and get you a glorified body like his. Hallelujah. You're going to stop seeing in part, knowing in part, know even as he does. You're going to stop walking around wondering what the mysteries are, and you're going to know the mysteries. Hallelujah. Because God is going to transform us into that place that he created us to be, into a glorified state. Hallelujah. So Jesus is coming back to bring us into our full inheritance. Coming back to bring us into our fullness of our salvation. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 that we're living on the down payment of our salvation right now. Hallelujah. Listen to me, folks. The down payment isn't nothing compared to what the full measure is. Amen. And look how good the down payment is. Hallelujah. And so if we are blessed this much to walk with God and experience his glory in our lives in this world and operating only on the down payment, how much more is it going to be when Jesus returns a second time? Amen? And he is coming again. Let's look at a couple places. Look in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. See, a lot of people today, and we'll show you here, we're going to continue on, we'll just teach a little bit, but a lot of people are trying to deny His coming. A lot of different false religions are trying to rise up and try to deceive people. But, you know, we need to understand what's going to happen when Jesus comes. And we need to understand that, first of all, He is coming again. John 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Boy, that's a good word, isn't it? Amen. I mean, if you watch everything going on today, you could have troubles in your heart. Amen. You could be upset and frustrated. So He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." See, Jesus left to prepare a place for us in heaven with Him. Amen. To operate in the Father's house, to have a place with God. But look what He says. And He says, "And I will go and prepare a place for you," in verse 3. And He says, "And I will come again." Notice that. "I will go and prepare a place for you." And then He says this, "And I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Hallelujah. So the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, "I'm going to go back to My Father. And while I'm there, I'm going to prepare a place in My Father and in My kingdom for you to dwell in. And then whenever I get everything done the way what it needs to be done and the time is fulfilled, I'm going to come back and receive you to Myself that you can be where I'm at always." Amen? Hallelujah. That's a good report to us, folks. That's good news today. That's coming straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Himself. Amen? Now let's look in Acts chapter 1. Here the Lord is speaking over here, telling them some things to do. And we pick it up here in verse 6. And it says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" See, they're wanting to know, you're going to restore Israel. You're going to bring Israel now and make it the nation of nations. You're going to make us the priests that you spoke to us through Moses. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And the Lord said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own ministry, His own authority." Now, what's He talking about here? The Lord isn't denying that Israel's going to get restored. He's just telling them that it's not right now. There's a time and a season that the Father has before it's going to be done. In other words, He's saying, yeah, it's going to be restored, but that's in the Father's authority. In other words, that's a season that only the Father Himself knows when it's going to happen. Because you see, really, if you're getting right down to it, they're not expecting Jesus to go up in heaven. He's already gone to heaven, put His blood on the mercy seat, and came back down to them, praise God. And so they're saying, "Lord, at this time, since You've conquered death, hell, and the grave, and You defeated the devil, and You've defeated Your enemies, are You going to restore the kingdom at this time?" And the Lord said, He did deny that the kingdom would be restored. He just said, "That's not up to Me. That's up to the Father, who has kept it in His own authority to do it." Amen? And so, therefore, we get some revelation of this. Jesus is actually saying, there's going to come a day that I'm going to come back and restore the kingdom of God right here on the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. And He's going to do it in Israel, and He's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem, praise God, and He's going to do it. But He said, that time and the season is not really what you should be concerned about right now. It's going to happen, but that's not what you should be concerned about right now. Here's what you should be concerned about. Verse 8. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth," or the end of the earth. Notice here that Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now, you know, if you pick it up in verse 6 like we did, you think, well, Jesus just cut them off and told them they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But now if you go back to verses 4 and 5, you'll find out that Jesus is not letting them get distracted. He's got a point He's trying to make here, and He's going to build it all together. In verses 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus said it this way. He says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded." Everybody say commanded. Notice He didn't highly suggest it. He commanded. He gave them a commandment. What's the command? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, Jesus is teaching them that you need to stay here in Jerusalem. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be endued with power from on high. You need to receive the promise that I told you that my Father's going to send, that you've already heard about, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And while he's talking to them about being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving the promise of the Father, they said, okay, Lord, that's wonderful, but are you going to restore the kingdom right now? Amen. And so the Lord looks at him and doesn't deny he's going to restore the kingdom or he's going to come back. But he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. That's in the Father's authority. In other words, my Father in heaven is the one who's going to determine when that happens. But right now, what you need to do is you need to receive the Holy Ghost and be endued with power from on high and take the gospel of the kingdom out and be my witnesses to the world. Amen. So what's the Lord saying? The Lord is saying from the time that I leave until the time I come back, you need to be prepared for me to come back, but you need to help me to prepare people so that I can bring them back to my Father's house with me when I come again. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, we have a job to do. We are to be living in the fullness of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit, being a witness that Jesus is the resurrected Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. But now look what happens once the Lord reemphasizes to them, live the Spirit-filled life, live the fullness of the Spirit of God. I am coming back. I am going to restore the kingdom. But until I come back, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost and power, and you need to be involved in what I came to do. Amen? Meaning what? There's more to Christianity than just going to heaven someday. When we get saved, we are being enlisted into the army of God, and we're becoming a part of God's ministry on the earth, and we're to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, notice once he reemphasizes this, what happens in verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. And behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" You might say it like this: why are you still standing here? Hasn't the Lord told you what he wants you to do? Hasn't he told you to receive the endowment of power from on high? Hasn't he told you to be filled with the Spirit? Hasn't he told you to go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive the promise of the Father? What are you standing here looking out for? Amen? Get busy. Hallelujah. And then they tell him why they need to get busy. He says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Hallelujah. What did the angels do? Now, in John 14, Jesus said he was preparing a place for those who would love him.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link "This Week on Radio." You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.